Hi, welcome to Lambert Park Church. Our vision is life with God for the world. Our mission is to invite everyone to follow Jesus with us through redemptive community, intentional discipleship, and everyday mission. We're so glad you're here. Stay tuned for the podcast coming right up.
All right. Duncan, come on up. You're good. It's more about me gathering my thoughts. So some of you know my mom passed away few weeks ago, and last Friday buried her, and this coming Tuesday I'm going over for her memorial in White Rock. And just in the process of that, with all that's going on, I knew I couldn't speak this week, so I was praying this week who God might invite in. And we're on the cusp. We are days away from starting our initiative in partnership with Living Edge Free Food Markets here in Victoria on Wednesday. Whole crowd of you have jumped in and about to be a part of what's going to begin and be a way that we serve our neighborhood, our neighbors, our community, and God's going to use it. And this guy, this wee little man, Duncan is the executive director of Living Edge Ministries or something like that. And I don't know what the title officially is. Living Edge Markets.
Living Edge Community Church.
Well, yeah, it's a good opportunity to turn your mic on.
There we go. Living Edge Community Church.
I gave Duncan a call, and he very graciously offered to come. And so, very thankful to have him today, and I'll let him tell his own story. I didn't even know the name of the ministry properly there. But let's pray together for Duncan and for us, and then we'll let him share. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, that you have chosen to make yourself known to us through your story, your work in history, caught and brought down to us through the ages. And deeper than that and greater than that, the center of that, you've chosen to make yourself known to us through the incarnation of your Son, Jesus, his life, his birth, his ministry, his teaching, his suffering, his sacrifice, his death on the cross, and his being raised to life by the power of the Father. And by the grace of your Spirit, you continue to speak now through ordinary folks like us, like each one of us, in relationships and family and community, and sometimes from a platform behind a stand with a mic on our head. And we ask that you would breathe your life upon Duncan today as he shares with us, and you would open our hearts to receive from you what is in your heart for us today. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, Lambrick. Holy. Standing room only in the house of the Lord. You got to forgive me if you hear like thumping on my mic. It's because my church has 40 people in it. And so it might just be, if I'm sweaty, it's not the lights. It's that there's so many of you here. So, forgive me, let me just quiet myself and pray again so I can get into the right mode. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. My strength, my Redeemer, be ever gracious to me. Let the light of your truth pierce the darkness of my understanding and give us confidence in the power of your gospel. To you, Father, to your Son and your Spirit be all honor and glory, one God over a kingdom without end. Amen. That helped me. Okay. I am so excited and thankful to be here with you guys. It might seem a little bit odd that I'm this excited because you have no idea who I am, but I am so excited to be here because you guys, this church specifically, has been on my heart and in my prayer life, at the top of my prayer list for over a year. I'm not making that up. Every single night, I pray through the daily office, and I finish with a prayer time that I call Vespers, and just before I finish, I always pray for you and this church specifically. I pray for your growth and your health. I pray for your servant hearts. I pray that you would be blessed and healthy. And in that practice of doing that every night, I have grown so fond of this church. I've only been in person once before, but I'm so in love with this church, and that there's a connecting tether to me here now that in my own life, that I know it sounds weird because you don't know who I am, but it's there. To you, I'm a complete stranger, but I hope at the end of today, I won't be. And I know that in seasons to come, I won't be as your upcoming market grows. You've heard, and it's true, that I am the director of Living Edge. Living Edge Community Church is the official name, in case you're wondering what the ministry name is, Living Edge Community Church. It's a ministry here in Greater Victoria that combats food insecurity. I hope the name Living Edge is more familiar than mine, because it is next week that there is going to be a Living Edge community market here at Lambrick Park. I don't know if you probably know this. You're part of Living Edge. After a long time of discernment and planning and effort from an incredible team here, next week we will be giving out free food to the hungry of your community, serving and loving your neighbors, doing this ministry work together. And while I'm really thrilled to be here this Sunday, I am so excited for next week. A nervous and mostly hopeful energy for next Wednesday. Now, if you have your Bible, I want to give you a fair warning about the text I'm going to be mostly preaching from this morning is Ephesians 4, and I want to give you a heads up because of the many things that I'm not good at, one of them is technology. And I just did not figure out ProPresenter to have slides. And so you just have to look at me. Sorry about that. But we can kick it old school. So if you have your Bible, it's Ephesians 4, chapter 4, which will be my main reference for you today. And while you flip to that page, let me just share more about what Living Edge is. So Living Edge is a ministry that combats food insecurity in the CRD in Greater Victoria. Our ministry has two deeply important aspects to it. Our penultimate goal is to address the ever-growing and desperate need for food security in our communities of Greater Victoria. And it is a difficult truth to acknowledge, but it is true that in 2025, in a leading first world nation such as Canada, in an affluent place like Vancouver Island, even outside the downtown core, but in neighborhoods like Broadmead and Oak Bay, there is a growing number of people whose most basic need of hunger is going unmet. In 2022, just after the pandemic, 17% of Canadians were food insecure. We define the term food insecure by saying it is a person or a family that has chose to go without food in order to afford another basic necessity like a medical need, an EpiPen, or perhaps their rent. Or it's a person or family that relied on a food bank to meet their basic grocery needs. 17% of Canadians. Last year in 2024, 2 million individuals in Canada used a food bank. That number includes a third of the children who live in our country. It was the highest number of food bank visits in our national history, and it is growing every day. And so in response to that, Living Edge, in partnership with churches across Victoria, operates these community markets. 6 days a week, 7 markets, next week 8, let's go Lambrick, stocked with rescued food. Food that we have collected that was destined for a bin at a grocery store, perhaps because the grocery store overordered, or because it's sneaking up on an expiry date, or maybe only because this specific batch of carrots is a bit too crooked to put on the shelf. And what we do is we gather it up with our volunteers, we sort and we send to these markets, along with donations from farms, from individuals, from other ministries like the Rainbow Kitchen, to offer temporary relief to the growing hunger of our neighbors. And what's different about Living Edge compared to a traditional food bank is that we are not a food bank. We are a market. We're just a market that doesn't take cash or card or Venmo. You were not lining up and being handed a box of whatever we had on our shelves. We offer a market with what we call the Lord's Table Welcome, which is an open invitation without prerequisite or justification to all who profess need to come and receive in a place that preserves their human dignity and worth as a beloved people of God. And to a passerby, a Living Edge market would look just like a neighborhood farmer's market, where people are coming and selecting the food that they'd like to bring home and prepare for their families. And the tables of our market are meant to resemble the spiritual banquet table that is set by unseen hands. The one is prepared now in heaven and models that ultimate invitation. Because first and foremost, more than feeding bodies, the ultimate purpose of Living Edge is to join with the Lord in his work and offering beyond food what the soul hungers for. Purpose, acceptance, healing, comfort, salvation. It is food for the body, but it is hope for the soul. These two things cannot be separated from one another in our ministry. And while the physical purpose is to feed the hungry and serve our neighbors, the reality is, if it was only that, our business model is terrible. And what I mean by that is, any other budget, even with our modest overhead, a model where we work really hard and then give everything away for free, makes no sense. Even as a nonprofit, there's not a lot of contingency planning going on beyond the radical reliance on Christ's provision. And I am purposefully and actively trying to use every penny in our coffers in service to the Lord's mission. And it works. And it works only because God wills it. God wants to use it. And he's inviting us to join with him in what he is already ultimately doing. In order to serve beyond the physical need to those who come to a market. And this next part is where I really want to start preaching to those who attend, but also to those who serve at the market. The body and the soul. That is who you are. These two realities are inseparable. They are completely integrated and unified in you. And unlike other faiths that venerate only the internal spiritual life and ask of you or offer a pursuit of enlightenment that might even lead to shedding your corporeal needs and completely in this life, in contrast to that, we are followers of the ultimate spiritual being, the creator of heaven and of earth and of infinite space, who not only created our bodies to be a witness to his goodness and as a vehicle to worship, but the one God who willingly took on his own body and lived within it beside us. He redeems our body, and he welcomes us in to join his perfect body through and within the church and the celebration of the Lord's Supper, where he offers this perfect body to be a living and holy sacrifice for humanity. You are your body. It's not just a vehicle for your soul. You are your soul. Where the unspiritual and secular world tells us there's nothing beyond our physical self, that you are only temporary, and that any scars you may pick up along the way can only penetrate so deep. We, who are followers of Jesus, have been taught and can know that within us resides something unexplainable. You are imbued with a soul. It was crafted specifically and intentionally and uniquely. And so for most of my life, I didn't understand that or even believe it. I became a Christian in my early 20s. I won't give you my testimony, but it begins like the beginning of a bad joke, where a bishop and a tattoo apprentice are sitting in a barbershop. And the bishop leans over and says, "Hey, can I buy you a drink?" "Yeah, that's..." I said yes. After an epiphany, an ongoing conversation, a calling from the Lord, I quickly found myself in seminary classes, giving up tattooing, a complete restructuring of a life that until now had been lived purely for the physical. I had no regard or knowledge of my soul, and so I threw myself now with that knowledge into the spiritual life. And becoming a pastor, especially in my tradition, everything became about the inner work with Jesus. It became about reading theology. It became about liturgical rhythm. It became about St. Athanasius and Aquinas. It was all beautiful and it was all good, but it was unfulfilled. I fell into a common trap. And I began viewing my physical self as a shell and as a vehicle for the real me. I forgot. But then I started serving with Living Edge. Serving the people around me. Not just preaching to them about the cause of their hunger, but now inviting them to the table which my hands had set for them. Serving within Living Edge reminded me, I'm a soul and a body. Are you picking up what I'm laying down? The New Testament has two main messages. The first is this: Jesus is who he says he is. Amen. He is an incarnate God. He humbled himself and walked this earth. He suffered and died for you and for the sins of all who claim him as their Savior. He loves you. He came for you. He has defeated death. He has justified us to share an eternal life with him. This is the first and the most important message of the New Testament, the gospel. The second is this: that being true, Jesus having done this, he is inviting us to share in that ongoing work. The ongoing outpouring of his mercy on the world happening today, right now. It is an invitation that having been saved, Jesus asks us to participate now in our own sanctification. Ephesians 4 says this: "I, Paul, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints, us, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him, who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds up itself in love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Paul tells us that we are being built up into the full measure of Christ. We are being made like him in our walk of faith into the fullness of him. And one part of that work is the inner work of the soul, the necessary prayer life, the commitment of our growing knowledge and relationship with him, the rightful worship of him in the body in our church. It is the building and the growth of our souls. And to do this, to be raised in spiritual maturity, is wonderful, and it is only half of the Christian walk. To be following Jesus, who lived a real and complete human life, the second part of our sanctification, of being raised up and made into the fullness and the likeness of Jesus, is following and joining in his work of grace and mercy extended to the created world. To work in our communities for one another in the great love shown to us by our Lord. The Lord who modeled both the perfect spiritual life of the soul in prayer and virtue, and also the perfect physical life within his body. Jesus, who did not only preach a message of the coming eternal banquet, but also fed the hungry who were in front of him daily. Jesus, who before raising Lazarus from the dead, knowing the outcome, still sat and wept and stayed with the grieving family. Jesus, who before willingly going towards the redemptive cross, before bringing the greatest gift to all mankind, he still bent to his knees and washed the feet of those who should have served him, who took in his hands even the feet of the one who would betray him and washed them. And we are being called to all of this, the fullness of it, in following him. A complete Christian life. The way of Jesus must be both the growth and the sanctification of our inner life, our souls, being tempered and remade to more resemble the Creator, and also the outward and the tangible work, the good fruit from a healed tree offered to all in the full measure of Christ. And so this, my friends, is my favorite thing about Living Edge. Because not only is it an extension of that grace towards the world that is still wrestling or lost, that is still hurting and hungry, it is also an extension of grace to those who offer themselves alongside the Lord's mission. Those who serve at the market. It's a ministry for the hungry, and it's a ministry for the ones who set the table. Where in prayer and worship and devotional study, God meets and develops and deepens our souls. It is in our service. It is in our actionable love of others where he does the same for our bodies. Like his own body being made into a complete and sufficient sacrifice, our own bodies can then be made into tools for his grace and mercy for the people whom he loves And he desires us to love as well. Don't hear what I'm not saying. This is not an extended ad for your participation in the market. That would be good. It's also not an indictment for those of you who are like myself, more easily given to the work of the soul. But rather, I want to offer it to you as a charge and encouragement, a reminder. Look for the hungry, the literally hungry, and feed them. Look for the weary, the literally physically weary. Find out how you can offer them rest. I want you to look for the brokenhearted and stay with them. Weep with them, grieve with them. Pray for them too. But pray also that you could be an answer to the silent shouting prayer that they have held in their heart. The Epistle of James, chapter 2, says this: "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm and filled,' without giving them the things they needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." This church is alive. Lambert, you are alive, soul and body. I've seen it. I'm so thankful and glad to be allowed to be a part of it. You are responding to the needs of your neighbors. You are reaching out to them in the love of Christ. But I'm also excited to see not only how it affects and moves in the community around you, but how it builds up all of you. You, followers in the ways of Jesus, how it builds you up into the complete measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let me pray for you. I'm going to pray for you what I've been praying for you for the past year. In the end of my time of Vespers, I follow this ancient Irish monastic. I'm a nerd, and it's translated from Gaelic, so it might sound a little funny, but it's my heart for Lambrick. The world is alive with your goodness, O God. It grows green from the ground, and it ripens into the roundness of fruit. Its taste and its touch enliven my body and stir my soul, O God. Generously you have given. Profusely displayed your grace and goodness pour forth from the earth. And as I have received, so free me to give. As I have been granted, so may I give. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.